This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira hamma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, I was listening to a nazam by Sheikh Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob, rahmatullahi, the Khalifa of Marana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullahi. And the first share of that is Jaga ji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki ja hai, tamasha nahi hai. Says this dunya is not the place to invest your heart. This is not the place to get your heart attached to it. And this is really a place to learn lessons from. It's not a place for viewership. It's not a place for entertainment. Jaga ji lagane ki dunya nahi hai. Ye ibrat ki ja hai. Tamasha nahi hai. Ibrat is to take a lesson from something. Ja is jaga, which means space, place. Tamasha is it's just entertainment. It's like what you go to a cinema or something, or drama. Tamasha nahi hai. This is not a tamasha. Subhanallah, if you think about this one share, and the whole nazm is very beautiful, and I'll ask Umair to put it in this further reminder, you can read it. The whole point of this is that if we think about this life and we reflect on it, then we realize that it's not the possession or the absence of wealth or resources or family or people or power or influence or glory. It is how much we are attached to that in our hearts. What spells the difference between happiness and sadness? What spells the difference between taking good decisions that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bad decisions that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the stuff we have. It is how we think about it, how we are attached to that or not attached to that. And that's why this word, one word, ibrat. Ibrat is to take a lesson, extract a lesson from what we encounter. Now, it's one of those most important things. When I was a little child, little boy, my father used to always ask me, what did you learn? What did you learn? Everything. You meet somebody, what did you learn from this meeting? You read the book, what did you learn from this book? You see something, what did you learn from this scene? You go to the market, what did you learn from the market? So this, it was ingrained into me to ask this question to myself, what did I learn? Now, it's not as if every time I ask the question, there is an answer. There may not be an answer, but it creates a mindset which is looking for answers, which is looking for something beyond the obvious, beyond what is right in front, and saying, what is the reason for this? What is the cause for this? Now, I don't mean to, I'm not saying that you should find some, you know, conspiracy theory behind everything. No. You're saying here, what are the reasons some things happen? If somebody is unhappy, why? What is it that makes you happy or unhappy? For most of us, we don't graduate beyond our childhood of happiness and unhappiness to thinking about what is it that makes me happy. For most of us, it's toys. As they say, the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. When you are little in the nursery, 2, 3, 4 years old, it's dinky cars. Later on, it is real cars. The mindset, the mental level is the same between the 4-year-old and the 40-year-old. There's no emotional and intellectual development, really, because it's the same kind of excitement. Oh, my car, my car, my car. I mean, it's a piece of iron and rubber. So what's so fancy? It's a piece of it's transportation that takes you from point A to point B. Right? In itself, it has no value. But this is how we have been raised, and this is how we have been conditioned. And on top of that, we live in an environment which is geared for this. This is the only thing we keep thinking about in our environment, to say what car, what this, what that, what that. We are taught to value not traits of humanity like compassion and intelligence and creativity and the appreciation of beauty, wisdom, kindness. No, we are taught to appreciate stuff. How much money, what kind of house, what kind of clothes, what brands, what kind of possessions, what kind of car, and so on and so forth. And you say this is the mark of a man, is the car, or the statement you're making is by the car you drive and the watch you wear and so on. Just think about that. That if we apply that kind of a standard to measure the worth of a person, how would you measure the Anbiya alayhi wasalam? How would you measure the prophets of Allah who were the best of all creation? There's no one who's superior in terms of their level with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the prophets and messengers. Not a single one of them was like this, wore other than Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawud alayhi salam who were kings. But other than that, and not a single one of them wore grand clothes and this and that. I mean, even Sulaiman and Dawud alayhi salam, they didn't wear these things, and they didn't have possessions to show off to as a mark of their of their brand. This was routine. This is how kings dressed, and so they dressed. But think about all other. Take Ibrahim alayhi salam, take Musa alayhi salam. Rasulullah salam said Musa alayhi salam had one robe that he used to spread on the ground and sleep in the night, and he would wear it on his shoulders, around his shoulders in the daytime. And he said he had the same thing for 40 years. Rasulullah salam, what were his clothes like? Right? We have the famous story of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who was, after Musa salam passed away, in the khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was giving khutbah in Jummah, and he had many patches on his thobe. Oh, it was clean and neat and so on, but it has patches, lots of patches where it was torn, and he put a piece of cloth in as a patch. So some of his brothers, some of the Jalil al-Qadr Sahaba, some of the great Sahaba of the time, who were his brothers, who were his friends, they felt bad and said, look, this man is our ruler, this man is the within quotes the king, he's the Khalifa, why must he dress like this? So they brought a beautiful piece of cloth, enough to make the garments for him, and they took it to his daughter, Sayyidah Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they gave it to her, and they said, please give this to your father and tell him to make new clothes, but don't tell him who gave this, because they were afraid of Sayyidina Umar's reaction. So when Sayyidina Umar came to visit his daughter, Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anha, she gave him this cloth, and she said, your brothers have sent, your friends, your brothers have given this as a gift for you, and they want you to make new clothes. He said, who gave this? So she said, no, I have their names in confidence, I'm not at liberty to divulge that, so I will not tell you. He said, how was the dress of your husband, Rasulullah? He said, how was the dress of your husband? Did he wear clothes like I'm wearing now with patches and so on? He said, yes. He said, the reason I wear this and the reason I do not change is because I'm afraid that if I move away from his sunnah, from what he was like, then Allah will deny me the honor and the opportunity to be with him when I meet him in Jannah. Now imagine this, right? Now, there's nothing, it's not haram in Islam to wear nice clothes and so on and so forth. But these people were at a level of piety where these things meant nothing to them. Their own sense of, today we like to talk about self-esteem. What is self-esteem? Self-esteem is to be completely sure of yourself, of you as a human being, and not be intimidated by the world, not take props from the outside world to shore up you're collapsing self-esteem. This is actually a sign of total lack of confidence, that a person feels that, you know, he must wear certain kinds of clothes, certain brands, must drive a certain kind of car, must wear a certain kind of watch or some kind of gadget and some kind of phone and so on, in order to be respected. The human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, karrama bani adam. Allah said, I have given ikram, I have honored the children of Adam alayhi salam. So, and we take that honor and we trash it, and we think that pieces of cloth and pieces of metal and gadgets have more honor than us, and they give us honor. Right? So it's very important to say, jaga ji lagane ki dunya nahi hai. The world is not a place to anchor your heart. It's not a place to sink your heart into. It's a place to take lessons from. And I remind myself and you, let us try to develop this kind of perspective on life, where we take lessons from the world and say, look at this. See the people of the world, see the people of the past, the billionaires, the kings and the queens and the owners of great, phenomenal, fantastic jewelry and so on. I mean, you know, many of you must have seen the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II, the woman who ruled over the largest empire the world has ever seen, the woman who presided over the looting of country after country after country of their resources taken to Britain, right? Go to the British Museum, go to the museum in the Tower of London and so on, and you will see all the loot of the British, which is displayed there for people to see. Right? And this unbelievable wealth and honor, like you won't believe, died. And when she died, you saw all the grand funeral and so on. But you and I know the reality. What is the reality? The reality is the woman died without iman. Right? At least as far as we know, she died without iman. She died without Islam. So what happens to her now? It doesn't matter that she is in a crypt. Doesn't matter that she is in this grand coffin made of God knows what. But the point is that what happens to her in the akhirah? Two of my friends died. Both of them were tea planters, like me. Both of them died. One died in his early 70s. The other one died at the age of 86. Both of them had lunch and slept and passed away. But one of them prayed Salatul Zuhr before lunch in the masjid, came home, had lunch, lay down, asked his wife, as usual, she would wake him up for Salatul Asr, give him a cup of tea, and he lay down and told her, wake me up for Asr, and he passed away in his sleep. And the second one, again, a wonderful man, also had lunch, wasn't feeling too good, lay down and passed away. As you can see, one was a Muslim, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him Jannatul Firdaus without hisab, because of the way he died, inshallah, this is Bashar. And the other one was not Muslim. Even both of them were nice people. Ibrat, right? Ibrat, to take a lesson from this and say, therefore, that I, the fact that I am Muslim, what value do I have for that in my life? How do I retain this Islam? How do I continue to be Muslim? Meaning, how do I continue to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To say, Sami'na wa ata'na, I hear and I obey. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us never ever betray this religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with. And to take this dunya, use it. It is like the shoe on your foot. It may cost $2,000, but it is still a shoe. You don't put it on your head. The cap on your head costs $2, but it has value because it's on the head. Right? If you take that cap on your head and you clean your shoe with that, people will say you're insane. You say, oh no, why am I insane? I'm using a $2 thing to clean a $2,000 thing. You say, no, it's not a question of what it costs. It's a question of where is it to be used. That's the dunya. The dunya is a shoe. It is to be used on your feet. By all means, use it. I'm not saying walk barefoot, but use it where it is supposed to be used. Don't keep it in your heart. Don't keep it in your head. Don't allow that to define your life. Don't allow that to define you and to be a reflection of your self-esteem, as you might think. It is not. Our self-esteem lies in our principles and our values, and it lies above all in our iman and in our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do what is pleasing to Him and to save us from what is not pleasing to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.